psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson, the voice you trust for the family you love.
Well, my relationship with Shirley has been one of the highlights of my life. Something precious happened in those childhood years, and I can't recover one of them.
Well, what do you think we were doing at home?
You can be sure we were on our knees.
This is Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Luann Crane.
Well, here we are in early June, and the summer baseball season is upon us.
That is right, Luann and Dad, and our program today is very appropriate for this time of year.
We're going to hit the first day of summer in just a couple of weeks, and what a wonderful time of the year this is. It just makes me feel very nostalgic to think of my times as a boy. It's been a long, long time, but I can still remember them. During those summer sunny days, going barefoot, remember how much fun that was, and fishing and vacations with my family and baseball, which is known as America's pastime for a reason. With peanuts and Cracker Jacks.
And because of that, isn't it kind of depressing when you keep hearing about one more athlete taking performance-enhancing drugs and doing some illegal activity or driving reckless?
Well, Ryan, I've got three boys, and they've already sworn off trying to follow these athletes because they're so discouraged with that.
Well, I think we can safely say that our guest on today's program won't be in the news for any of those things. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to sit down with St. Louis Cardinals first baseman Albert Pujols and his lovely wife, Didi. And many of our listeners are already big, big fans of Albert. But for those who aren't familiar with him, he really is the most feared hitter in all of baseball. And he had the best batting average for the 2009 season. He's been selected as an All-Star 8 times, and he has won the National League Most Valuable Player Award 3 times. But more importantly, in my opinion, Albert Pujols is a man who loves the Lord. There is no doubt about that. On his foundation's website reads the statement, "In the Pujols family, God is first. Everything else is a distant second." And I like that. And speaking of his foundation, the Pujols Family Foundation, which we're going to hear more about today and tomorrow, is dedicated to, quote, "the love, care, and development of people with Down syndrome and their families." Their oldest daughter, Isabella, has Down syndrome, which is where that passion comes from. The foundation also helps the poor in the Dominican Republic, which is where Albert is from, of course.
You know, I heard that when he became a U.S. citizen in 2007, he scored a perfect 100% on his citizenship exam.
Oh, yikes. I wonder how many of us could do that. Albert is quite the family man, Dr. Dobson. He and his wife, Didi, have been married 10 years. They have 4 children. And here now is your conversation with Albert and Didi Pujols.
How young were you, how old were you when you began to realize, Albert, that you had a very, very unusual talent?
Well, I was about 11 or 12 years old, and, you know, growing up in the Dominican, that's pretty much what I did, just play baseball. You know, my dad used to take me to the park, spend some time with my dad, a bunch of time, and we have a big family, and they just love a sport, and I was growing up pretty much around sport. And but I didn't realize until that age, 11 or 12 or 13, that I'd really have a really good chance to have that opportunity and that dream.
You dreamed of it, though,
pretty much.
You?
That's every little boy's dream, you know, be a professional baseball player.
Yeah. Describe your family for me again in a little more detail. There was there were many uncles and aunts.
Well,
you
definitely.
A big family.
Definitely. I have a big family. You know, I have about 5 aunts and uncles, and I'm pretty much the younger. They call me the younger brother because I grew up with my grandma. My grandma raised me since I was 5 months old. My mom and dad divorced when I was, I believe, 3 months old.
And your dad was kind of in and out, wasn't he?
Yeah, definitely. But my dad was always there for me and my mother, too. But I was raised by my grandma, and she's pretty much been my mom's. You know, I'm 26 years old right now, and she's the one that they always be there for me, and I got the opportunity to go to Panama this year to see my mom. That's my real mom. That's where she lives.
And you haven't seen her in a long time?
Prior to that, 7 years. I hadn't seen her. And,
does she know what's happened to you?
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. You know, she watched the gang, and she's real happy for me because she know how hard I work. And, you know, just a blessing. The Lord has blessed me with some talents, special talents, and I just take an advantage.
Didi, you have to be extremely proud of this man.
Yeah. I mean, I've been with him since he barely turned 18, so I've had a chance to really grow with him as well. And I was an athlete in high school. I played softball for many years, so it wasn't hard for me to catch right on. But when I met him, he really was all about high school baseball at the time.
Yeah. Well, you met in the United States, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He had moved to the United States about a year and a half before I met him. And at the time, he didn't speak any English. I think he tells people the story how he walked into the principal's office or the office and just asked about the baseball, you know.
And that's what you
school.
Cared about.
Yeah.
But he learned English very quickly, you know. In Independence, Missouri, there's not a huge population of Hispanics, so he picked up English quick. And by the time I met him, he knew a lot of English, and it's just been baseball.
You went to New York City first, right?
Yeah.
And your grandmother really didn't like it there.
No, it was just tough, you know, with the big family. I mean,
so all of you came? The whole family came?
Well, kind of like, you know, me and my dad was the last people to come to the United States from my family. I mean, I already had my family here, and they used to live in New York. And my uncle moved to Independence, Missouri. He just invited my mom, you know, just to visit for a month, and she loved it. She fell in love, and she's just say, this is where I want all my kids to live. And, you know, and it was easy to find a job, you know, as a big family like that for my dad, and he doesn't know any, that much English. And it was just tough, but like Deidre say, I really, you know, it was tough for me because I had to go to school, finish school and go to college, and I didn't know that much English. I had my teacher in school, and it was like she didn't know any Spanish, and I didn't know any English. So it was really tough to communicate. But you know, I got really educated, and that was at that time. That was baseball, and my education was really important to me. I want to be educated and just follow baseball with.
Didi, tell us a little bit about how you got acquainted. How'd you meet, and how long have you been married?
We've been married for 6.5 years. What's funny is I usually forget that, and the men are the one who get who get in trouble for forgetting. But it's 6.5 years. We met we've been together for about 8.5 years, and we met in Kansas City, and it was we were salsa dancing.
You were what?
Salsa dancing.
It's a salsa club.
So we met dancing, and and after that, it wasn't like, you know, instant love or anything. I mean, we were kind of like dancing buddies over several weekends. And then finally we went out together and been together ever since. Like, we just really fell in love with each other. And he was so young, so.
Yeah. You had a pretty rough period of your life at that point, hadn't you? You had a baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had a baby. A lot of times when I do public speaking, I'm sharing, you know, I share my testimony about my lifestyle. It was just bad choices, you know. I was a teenager, and I walked the aisle of my church in Kansas City at 16, but
To give your heart to the Lord.
Yeah, but I don't believe I really did. So, because I lived a pretty rough 4 years between 16 and 20, and I got pregnant at 20 with my daughter Isabella, and her biological father's actually in Boston, so I had just moved back to Kansas City. I had just found out I was pregnant, and I knew I was never going to have anything to do with him again. So I was by myself, and it brought me to my knees. And, you know, sometimes it brings, you know, a person has to be on their knees before they can go, okay, God, you know, I'm ready to surrender. And that was my moment. Yeah. So
this time it was 100%, wasn't it?
It was. It was. There was no going back. I realized that my life was no longer mine, and I was representing a new person, and I wanted to be, you know, I wanted to live for God. And
so when you met Albert, you were a believer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you were.
I wasn't.
You were not.
No. Nope. Mm-hmm. Until 2 weeks after.
And
well, immediately
you went to work on him.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, immediately, you know, I knew I call Albert my earthly savior, because I think I easily could have went back to my old lifestyle. I was really seeking for some kind of a male attention. And, you know, I did recommit myself to God, you know, my ways. And if it wasn't for him, I don't know, you know, if I could have stayed to that commitment. And because he didn't drink, he didn't smoke, no earrings, no tattoos. Like, he was just baseball, and that was different for me. So, you know, immediately I invited him to church and told him I was wanted to be serious with God. And he was like, oh, I want to go to church. My family can't take me because they work on Sundays. So he went with me. And after a couple of weeks of going, he said, what are they doing when they walk down the aisle at the end of service? Mm-hmm. And so it gave me an opportunity to just share with him about Christ and what it meant to have him in his life. And I told him the difference between heaven and hell for what I knew at the time. And he said, well, I don't want to go to hell. So so really the next Sunday, the end of the service came and everybody was standing up. They gave an invitation, and I didn't say anything to him because it was his choice. So he tapped me on the hand and said, I thought we were going. And I was like, well, let's go. So
Albert, tell us about that. What was that experience like for you?
Well, it was, like you said, I grew up non-Christian in the Dominican Republic. I went to church probably once. It was just all baseball down there, and my family never had the time or the opportunity to share with me. And at that moment, you know, she just pretty much told me, and I definitely didn't want to go to hell. I'm like, I give my opportunity and just seek for, and I just the Lord to work in my heart. I mean, I was pretty young, and, you know, but I know I was making the right decision. And God has just blessed me in my life with that, not just with baseball, but with my family, you know. And God is first, my family, my career is the last thing that I think about it.
Now, when you say God is first, you really mean that.
Definitely.
I mean,
definitely.
Throughout the league everybody who knows and understands baseball knows that baseball's not your God.
Nope.
It's not your greatest love. Your greatest love is Jesus Christ.
Definitely. And he's the one that I gave all my credits to. And I always say, God doesn't need me, but I need him to survive in this war. He's the one that keep me humble, you know, and he's the one that I give all my credits, all these home runs. And he just gave me this platform so I get to know people and share with them what God has done in my life. And when I see kids and people come to me and say, man, you're amazing, you're my hero. I'm like, yeah, I'm your hero, but God is my hero. And that's
well,
who your hero should be.
You have a poster pointing to the sky.
Definitely.
That does not mean we're number one. No. What does that mean?
It just to point in, just to give all the glory to God. And I just want to remind the person, you know, and the people, because I have a lot of people approach me, why are you pointing to the sky? I'm like, hey, just to know that all the glory is going to the Lord. I mean, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for him, you know, I don't know where I would have been if I would have made that choice 7 years ago. And he filled my heart. I mean, there was a really hole in my heart that he really filled. And, you know, and like I say, just being a blessing. And,
well, one of your greatest thrills is to lead your fellow baseball players
definitely,
to the Lord.
Definitely. And then that was better than anything. I mean, any home runs or anything out there. There's nothing that I can compare.
We're not going to name them, but you led a couple of them.
Definitely. Definitely. And that was something that I was working. I was working for a year and a half. And I wasn't pushing it. I was just telling, hey, I just want to make sure that he understands and that I was there for him, any question that he has. And I just let the Lord to work on him, and whenever he was ready, he came up to me about a month ago. We were about a couple of months ago. We were in San Francisco, and he just said, "I'm ready." I don't know what happened to him, but he just said, "I'm ready." And we actually did it in the plane. And you know, I just share with him. I just tell him, you know, I remember before we went to San Francisco, I was talking to him about what guarantees to him that he has you know, a room in heaven, and he didn't know anything. He's like, well, I'm great. I'm, you know, I do great things for my family, great things for a lot of people. And I'm like, but do you do that because you wanted to do, or because God wants you to do that? He's like, well, I don't know, you know. And so he just didn't have any clue, just like I was, you know. And I've been there before, and I just share with him and thank God that he opened his heart and his eye, and you know, he's my youngest brother in Christ right now, and I love him so much. And the other one, he's a new teammate this year, and I don't know where he came up to me, and he's like, in chapel. We were having chapel, and after chapel, he was like, hey, you know, I really want to change my life. And I told him, you made this decision, and there's going to be some hard ride, but you want to make sure that you stay and you keep your eyes on the Lord and the good times and the bad times. He always going to be there for you. And he will never going to put you in the situation that you won't be able to handle. And he always going to be there. And he's like, great. And he gave his heart to the Lord, and it's just been great, you know, great two teammates. And I have a great team. It seems like every year we lose two or three Christians, and then we get four or five. And we have a great group of guys in our team. We get together for Bible story, for chapel, and just amazing.
How often do you have chapel?
Every Sunday we have chapel, but we get together every Tuesday. If we play in home, we get together. And this year, I think I was talking to one of my teammates that we need to get together in the row too, because that's something that we used to do a couple of years ago when Mike Martini was in our team, which he was pretty much the guy that took me under his wing when I made the ball club in 2001. As a young believer, I didn't know, you know, how tough it was going to be. And he was one of the guys, the leader in the team that told me, hey, everything's going to be all right, brother. Just relax, do your thing. And he was pretty much the one that took me under his wing. And we used to get together and just after the game, it could have been 1 o'clock and we were still talking about the great things that God has done in our life. A group of guys, Hank, Woody, William, Mike Timlin, J.D. Drew, a bunch of Christians that we had in the team. And it could be 2 o'clock in the morning. We were still in the room when we have a day game the next day. And that's how much, how pressure it is, you know, that relationship that you have with God. And, you know, it's just tough. Like I was telling you guys, you spend more time with your teammates than what you do with your family. And, you know, and it's really tough. That's why I try to bring her, you know, with me in the road trip some of the time. And
how often do you go, Didi?
Like I told you guys earlier, I go to the fun places. But you know, I really have a heart for marriages. And I know that the temptations are there. You know, I've been able to see things with my own eyes that are heartbreaking. And when I hear wives tell me that they don't travel with their husbands, immediately I just, you know, kind of ache for them, because even if a man is committed to his marriage and his family, I mean, you know, I think there still has to be, I never let them go. Like, this road trip is one of the longest. So anytime there's a, you know, more than a week road trip, I really try to make a point to go.
You know, it is heartbreaking to see these lost young women who hang around professional athletes. You know, they don't value themselves very highly, and they're willing to provide anything and everything. And, you know, they're the ones that get hurt, but the athlete does too.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I got an email from from some girl. I don't know who she is. You know, she could be anywhere in the world. And her email address was like something like Hot First Baseman or something. I don't know.
She was propositioning him.
And she emailed me and started talking about the greatness of our foundation. And this just goes on to tell me how hot my husband was and how she lusts for him and things. And, you know, my immediate reaction was, you know, not a very nice one, but I just gave myself a moment to pray about it, because I didn't want to react out of anger. I actually hurt for her, because there was a time in my life where I would have written a happily married man and letter about, you know, how hot he was or anything like that. So I wrote her back and I shared Christ with her in my letter. I told her that I was going to be praying for her. I told her about, you know, how I would have written a happily married man a letter, but I realized it was because I felt powerful, but really it was a weakness that I was just, you know, playing a role that I was looking for something. So, and I just shared Christ with her, and I told her that I'd be praying for her. I ached for her because...
Yeah, what a wonderful response.
Yeah, because you find women, like, who will go at all costs to be the tempter. So, I always just observe. Like, I'm always watching young girls, especially to see their behaviors and things. But in Atlanta, when we were playing there a couple of years ago, there were a set of girls I was watching, young girls, 14, 15. And they were just dressed, you know, they hardly had anything on. And so I was watching guys, really, watching the guys walking by them, the young boys who they were talking to. And so as they, I waited for them to part their company, they were with some young kids, and they started walking my way, and I just approached them, and I was like, hey, you know, I wanted to give you some autographed baseball cards. Albert signs the cards for me. And I said, I'm the wife of Albert Pujols. He's here on the visiting team. And they said they played softball, and I played softball, so immediately, you know, I was like, I just want to let you know how beautiful you were, and you are. And both of them were like, you know, got all red. And so at this point, I had given them an autograph, and I told them how beautiful they were. So I kind of had them locked in. And, you know, I just began to share with them that I had been watching them, and I saw the men who were walking by and how they couldn't take their eyes off of them. And I said, you know, you guys are too beautiful, and God created you so that people would love you for who you are inside. And I said, everybody that's walked by you so far is just looking at what you don't have on. And I said, and there was a day that, you know, that I used to be like that and look for that kind of attention. And I said, but now that I'm older, I realize that it was my loss, you know, that I want people to know who I am for who I am in the inside. And so they were just like, they couldn't even speak. They were just, I think they were trying to, you know, marinate everything that I had just told them.
Do you know that nobody says that kind of thing to many of those young women?
I know.
Nobody ever says it. I'm working on a book now that will involve the situation similar to that. And it's just really sad. And they need role models who can say, there's a better way. You don't have to do that. You don't have to give yourself away like that.
And women need to hear from other women. It's important for older women who maybe have been in that situation before, who have grown up and grown out of that, to really try to speak into those women's lives or those young girls' lives, because they want to hear it. Just like we as Christians will say that people want to hear about Christ. I mean, these girls want somebody to walk up to them and tell them how beautiful they are. That's why they are, you know, dressed the way they are. So, you know, I kind of have the advantage of saying Albert Pujols is my husband, and not everybody has that.
And
but
now they're listening to you.
Yeah, but my heart breaks for them, and I try to encourage. I would love for all the school districts to go back to uniforms, because it's kind of disheartening how schools are letting young kids dress as well. But
Albert, I said at the top of the program that Dee Dee must be proud of you. You're proud of her too, aren't you?
Well, definitely. Definitely. She's the best Y out there. And
she speaks just, all over the country?
Definitely. That's one of their side that, you know, how God is working in her life. I mean, she just, she get a call today without preparing anything. She's like, I'm there tomorrow, you know, to speak. And it's amazing, you know, and like she said, if it wouldn't be for me, she don't know where she would have been. I say the same thing, you know. Because of her, I find, you know, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I gave my life to Him, and, you know, He's done some wonderful thing in my life. And it's not over, you know. He's still working. Every day is a new experience for me. It's learning. It's a learning experience. And, you know, just because I want people to know, just because we are Christian, we aren't perfect. You know, only God was perfect. Yeah. And, you know, and we're working to be perfect, but it's impossible, you know. But like I say, having people accountable and people praying for you, it's just it's really tough to fall in temptation. And I'm really proud of her. And, you know, just as a wife, as a mother to my kids, you know, how she educated my kids is the best. You know, guys, it's really blessing me.
Oh, those are words I think every wife would like to hear from her husband. Those from our guest on this Family Talk broadcast, Albert Pujols, first baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Luann, Albert will undoubtedly go down in history as one of the all-time great baseball players. But more than that, he's a good man. He loves the Lord. He loves his wife, Dee Dee. And he's the kind of athlete that parents can feel comfortable about their children looking up to.
And don't we need more people in the spotlight like that? I may not be a huge baseball fan, but I am a huge Albert Pujols fan. And if you want to know more about his foundation, please come to our website, myfamilytalk.com.
And Ryan, I know listeners are busy this time of year, probably going to their own baseball games with their own children, spending time at the Ball Diamond like that. But those of you listening, take a minute, drop us a line, give us a call, let us know what's on your mind. Of course, we'd love to have you join in supporting this Family Talk ministry. We just want to hear from you. You can get in touch, myfamilytalk.com, or give us a call, 1-877-732-6825, 1-877-732-6825. Thanks for joining us today. Stop by tomorrow to hear the conclusion of this fascinating conversation with Albert and Dee Dee Pujols.